Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single family homes all the way up to 600 plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Yep, the term "we're" was thrown into the script today because I have brought John and Kathy onto the show with me. Now, they're not on yet, but when they get onto the show, you're going to learn a lot of stuff from them. You're going to learn amazing information from them. But before we get into their mindset, before we get into understanding how they've radically changed their lives by using real estate, I want to share with you a little story. This story takes me to Houston, Texas. Last March, as a matter of fact, March of 2022, Lifestyles Unlimited was having our annual expo event. It was an amazing event. I think it was, of all the expos I've been to, and I've been to five so far because I've been a member for 5 years, so do the math, right? Of all the events that I've been to, I think that by far was the most impactful expo event that I've ever been to. Now, for those of you that don't understand what Expo is, it's our annual event that we throw, that is Lifestyles Unlimited, and we allow up to 5,000 like-minded real estate investors to converge on one place. We also allow people that are interested in checking us out to come in too, because we're not opposed to new members. And what happens there is networking and education and getting to see people that you don't get to see all of the time, because the members of Lifestyles Unlimited are distributed across the United States. Matter of fact, we actually have members that live in foreign countries that invest, not through Lifestyles Unlimited, but they were taught how to do this by Lifestyles Unlimited. So let me take it back to Expo. It's Saturday night. Expo has just been, raging. There's no other way to describe it. It's just been on fire. It's been a wonderful event. And Saturday night, it's probably about, I don't know, 9:30 or 10. My body is just telling me it's time to go to bed, Al, even though my mind is saying, I want to go hang out with all these wonderful people. And as I'm walking towards the elevator, thinking I'm going to let my body give in, I look over at the Hilton bar, not the big bar where everybody's partying. I look at the smaller bar that's associated with the coffee shop. And in the coffee shop, I see Kathy and I see John. And all of a sudden, my mind says, dude, you just need to go over there and sit down and say hi, because you haven't said hi to these guys for a while. So I did. I sat down, and I ordered a drink, and I sat right next to John. And you know what John did? John opened up to me. He really did. He opened up to me. He and I had a wonderful, I would say 45, maybe 1 hour conversation where we talked about all things. And it wasn't just real estate. I mean, we started with real estate, but then we talked about how he was going through a transformation in his employment life. And oh, you know what? I think that's a really good way to bring these guys onto the show. Why don't I just welcome John and Kathy onto the show? And we're just going to get into that conversation that we had. John and Kathy, welcome.
Hey, Al.
So do you remember that conversation, John?
I do. I recall it. It was, I think there was a couple of drinks in there, but I do recall it 100%.
All right. Yeah, it was Expo, so I'm pretty confident alcohol was involved, but within a reasonable level.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And here's what I learned about you, John. I've gotten to know you a little bit over the time that we've been members of Lifestyles Unlimited, because y'all joined, I think, a little bit before me, but, you know, we keep running into each other. And I got to know Kathy more because, well, heck, dude, you're always at work. I mean, you're a software engineer, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And being a software engineer is not a cakewalk job, is it?
It has its ups and downs, right? I mean, like anything else. But yeah, quite a few more downs lately, at least at that point in time, quite a few more downs. Yeah.
Okay. And the stress level, it's it exists in what you do, correct? I mean, we're not talking about a stress-free job, are we?
Right. Yeah. There's always these really arbitrary deadlines that really mean nothing to you as a person, but I guess to managers out there, it means something to them. And they, of course, put immense pressure on developers and software engineers. And, you know, I understand that that's probably on just about any kind of field out there. There's a great deal of pressure, a great deal of stress. You're working hours, you're working after, you're working at night, you're bringing, of course, we've been remote for quite some time, so you feel like you never unplug. You're feeling like you're just always working. It was getting pretty stressful. It was getting to be, it was taking a physical toll on me, and I've never had a job do that before. I've never had a waking up feeling ill and just feeling just dread. And you shouldn't feel that way with a job. You should always, you should be able to handle these things. But the stress was just getting to be way too much for quite some time. Kathy's saying, "Hey, quit. Just leave. Just quit." And I'm going, "I can't quit. I've got a family to feed. I'm the only one working right now, outside of the house." Kathy's just the rock, and she's like, "If this job stresses you, leave." I couldn't bring myself to it. And then finally, my boss, I think the audience can relate, the type of boss. And Kathy's like, "Just, you got to quit." And I said, "Fine." And I, mid-meeting, told my boss, "You know what? I quit. I'm done. I'm just done with you." And about 30 seconds later, I felt great. You feel like just that take this job and shove it moment. And you're like, "Yes." And about 30 seconds later, I'm going, "Ooh, I'm panicking." You're sweating and your heart rate's going because you're like, "I just quit my job."
And you're like, thinking, "Oh, what have I done now? Now I got to go home and face Kathy." Although she told me to do it, right? She set
she
you
told
up.
Me to do it.
She told me to set you up. But, it's your fault, Kathy.
All he had to do, remember, he works remote. All he had to do was turn and look at me.
So we've set the stage. We set the stage. Now, there's no alcohol involved right now because it's noontime. But when we come back from the break, we're going to pick up the story, and you're going to be amazed at the control that John has regained in his life. Stick around.
You can't be financially free if you're psychologically imprisoned by disabling belief systems.
Are you ready to break free from your disabling belief systems about money, real estate, retirement, and financial freedom? Then join us for Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Learn the belief system that thousands of people like you have used to break free from corporate America and create the lives they have always wanted. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedFreeWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. All right, as we went to break, John and Kathy were giving you the backstory on their lives. Let me succinctly encapsulate it for you, and then we'll take it from here. John is the breadwinner in the family. He and Kathy made a decision many years ago to have John go to work, bring money home for the family, and Kathy's role would be to maintain the household and raise the children. In my opinion, the most difficult job in the world. And I know this firsthand because their family did exactly what my family did. We made that same decision in our lives that my wife Tina would stay at home and raise our children because we felt it was more important to have influence into our children's lives than to go out and trade time for money so that we could get more money so we could go buy a bunch of junk. Is that kind of what was going on? Along the way, I was seeing exactly what you were seeing, Kathy. I was watching John, first of all, not show up for Lifestyles Unlimited events. I remember you coming solo to a lot of the events, and I go, "Hey, Kathy, where's John?" And you would tell me, "He's buried in work." And I was like, this is that opportunity to integrate with the culture of Lifestyles Unlimited. And John, we wanted to get to know you, but you were buried in work. When I did finally see you at a rare case study event, what what I saw was a man that was being overwhelmed by stress. Did you know that people could actually see you dealing with the physical stress of your job?
Not really. I mean, you're so wound up with this, you're trying to manage your own stress. You're not really, I guess, aware that others are noticing. I knew Kathy obviously was aware, and the kids were aware of it, but, you know, you're looking at your acquaintances and friends, and obviously, yeah, they can see it, and you could see it. So that was, you mentioned that, and so that kind of opened my eyes, too, going, wow, I mean, other people can notice, you know, me not being me. That's disappointing. You realize you're not managing your stress very well.
Yeah, in the military, we used to call it the 1,000-mile stare, because you get so honed into what you're doing. Everything around you takes a minimal importance to you because of that task and that goal. And Kathy could see it, and she told you to quit your job. And you were going, wait a minute, I'm the breadwinner here. If I quit my job, this is all fine and dandy, but where are we going to live? How are we going to eat, right? What did she know in the background that advised her to give you that advice?
She'll correct me if I'm wrong here, and she'll jump in, but I think she knew where we stood financially. And I kind of figured it out. I mean, I kind of knew, but I didn't really understand it. And it's not that I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't looking at the financial situation as I should have been looking at it. I still have had an employee mindset, you know, that you need to have a job. That's what defines you. And you need to make sure you have a paycheck. And you're not thinking like an entrepreneur. You're still thinking, like I said, like an employee, very dependent on a paycheck, right? I mean, I'm still in that mindset. And so Kathy is running the numbers, and she's like, look, you can quit. And I'm like, no, I can't quit. She's like, yes, you can. Just go quit. And I'm like, that's no.
I love it. She's laughing in the background. And you know, you're totally, and she's still laughing in the background. You're totally serious about what's going on here. But Kathy's got she's got that wisdom, man, that you and I don't have. You realize that, right?
I thought she was joking. She's like, oh, just quit your job. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, no, I can't quit my job. And she's like, yeah, you can. Just do it. I'm going, I don't see how this is possible. And like I said, when I quit, I panicked. I mean, it was like, do I call the guy back and tell him I'm just joking? Or, you know, maybe I give it a day and see, maybe I should just apologize. And Kathy's like, really? No. Come on, stop.
And you're and trying to take the shovel out of his hand, right? Right, Kathy? Because he's just digging a big hole
for
himself.
Hard. Yeah. So obviously, as he said, I could see the stress on him. And I had been saying for a while, you know, you can quit your job. You know, you can quit your job. And he just could go on. No, I can't. I distinctly remember where I was standing when we had that employee mindset conversation. Because I'm like, you're still thinking like an employee. We have bigger, loftier goals. And we just turned them on. The switch just got flipped. And we are moving forward. We had taken we had a little nest egg of cash flow. I knew it would be okay. We still have cash flow coming in. Did it cover that current cash flow coming in? Did it cover everything? No, but it covered all the big stuff. And as we have talked about, we still have our house. We still buy groceries. Nothing got shut off. We still have Wi-Fi. The kids, we have teenagers, so the kids are still happy. They still have their phones. Nothing changed. John was able to leave his job in February, and he starts the next one in a couple of months, later in the month. So basically, he's off for 2 months. Nothing happened to us. We were completely fine. And right. So I'm glad that he did listen. It took him, he said it within 30 seconds, he had regret. I took one deep breath and I went, we're in, we got this. And so I was able to like, give me the shovel, we got this, I got this. I will keep us moving forward. And that's exactly what happened.
Well, I think, you know, she was talking to me, of course, in the back of my mind, I'm like, okay, but show this to me. And so she pulls up spreadsheets, and she's like, look, she's like, worst-case scenario.
Oh, she typed B you, huh? She hit you with the spreadsheet, yeah.
Yeah, and she goes, worst-case scenario. She goes, look, you could go without working for over a year. And I just went, oh, okay. And that clicked. I mean, in a worst-case scenario, and you know, to be told, hey, you could take a whole year off and nothing changes. And I thought, wow, why didn't you tell me this sooner?
Yeah. Well, you were working so damn much, you never had a chance to. Right?
And you know, so that was just so eye-opening. And then I'm like, okay, well, this is great. This is a wow. But, you know, it took about a good month for me to just turn that employee mindset off. It took about a month to just sit there and say, okay, what are you going to do with your time off? And, you know, we actually called a mentor. We called our mentor and, just, you know, told him the situation. And he says, okay, start working on multifamily. Let's start, you know, learn how to do the MFQA. Learn how to do all the things you need to do with that the big boys do on these apartment deals. And so we said, okay, that's my job for right now. That's Kathy's job. And we started concentrating on real estate. And it took about a month for me to get used to just not going into work and not getting this paycheck, and we're fine. Once that clicked, once that employee mindset went off, I thought, okay, we're good. I talked to the mentor. He says, hey, look, you may need to go ahead and just get a job.
Well, that's okay. You're going to say, hey, you just may need to go get a job, because we're going to pick up this conversation after the break. But what I want to share with you is that the conversation I had with John at the end of Expo was a completely different guy than the conversation I had with John when he first became a member.
Now, from the files of Del Wamsley.
20% of the activities you do in life produce 80% of your results. That's his efficiency ratio. Now, it's obvious in life, if you can do more of the 20% that makes a difference and less of the 80% that doesn't, you can be more successful. So it's that line. Here is the line. You live, let's say there's a line where you are exactly an 80-20 person. Successful people are more like 30-70. Unsuccessful people are more like 90-10. What I mean by that is the people who are unsuccessful spend 90% of their time doing stuff that means nothing and only 10% of the time doing something that's effective. Very successful people spend 30% of their time doing something effective and only 70% of their time doing something ineffective.
It's amazing what real estate can do. Stick around. When you look at the effects of what happened in 2008 and you compare it to what we are hopefully coming out of right now, real estate has definitely shown its resiliency. It has provided for people not only a place to live, but a place to work, a place to raise their children, a place to teach their children, a place to prepare all of their meals.
And that's really where the rubber meets the road, is that there are two things that people have to have, and they strive very hard to have them, and that's a roof over their head and food on the table. And if you are investing in something related to either of those two things, you are going to have a winning strategy. And in addition to that, you're providing something of value to the people around you, and creating a win-win situation while creating wealth and passive income for yourself is the best life you can get.
Real estate is resilient. You should have real estate in your portfolio. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Warning. Listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. So I've got John and Kathy on the show with me. John and Kathy have been members of Lifestyles Unlimited a little bit longer than I have. They actually joined, I think, about 6 months before I did. And along the way, they decided that they were going to invest in single family properties. And they've done an excellent job of investing into those types of assets. So much of an excellent job that it created a solution for John that John wasn't even aware of. See, Kathy had been working in the background buying distressed real estate. There's no other way to describe the stuff she was buying. And most of it smelled like cat urine, didn't it, Kathy?
Yeah, and roaches.
Oh, and roaches, and roaches. I forgot about the roaches. Yeah, we definitely have those down here in South Texas. Anyway, Kathy was working in the background, buying distressed properties, renovating those properties, putting these properties back into service as clean, functional workforce housing. And she did that one property after another until you guys got up to about, what, six houses now? Is that where you're at?
Eight. We had eight at one time.
Okay, eight. All right. So while this is going on in the background, John is still focused on, you know, being the provider of the house. I mean, there's nothing wrong with what he's doing, but he's working in a very stressful environment. And it gets to a point in their life where I think, John, your head was about ready to explode, was it not?
Correct. Yeah. I was physically ill. That's the polite way of saying it, I guess. Just
okay.
Yeah, that was,
and that keeps me from getting fined by the FCC. I appreciate that. And what Kathy told you was that because of the success you have had with real estate investments, it was okay for you to step away from your job. And you did that, and you've been going through a period where you haven't been working, but you also have not been stressing out about paying your bills, correct?
That's correct, right. And I haven't been handing out resumes. I haven't been, just all the stress that would be, that a person would have if they had, were, you know, so dependent on a paycheck and live paycheck to paycheck. I don't have that. I mean, nothing's changed. I've been going fishing. Our lives have not stopped. I'll say that.
The one thing that's happened for the both of you, as well as for your children to a certain extent, is that you've regained control over your lives. No longer are you a subject to somebody else's beck and call. You're calling the shots now, and you called the shots when you quit that job. And I want to point out to everybody listening to us that that is a real result that you can achieve in 5 years or less. I mean, you got it done in 5 years, right?
Yeah, basically, yeah, absolutely.
How hard was it to do that? I mean, was it like, Kathy, did you pick up an extra 40-hour-a-week job doing all this real estate stuff?
No, I did not. No, I did not do that. No, we homeschool our kids, so no, we did not throw out any other. We let real estate do its job. We were taught how to do it, and we let it do its job, and it did it beautifully. So we didn't have to worry about anything. So no extra jobs for me.
Okay. How much time do you spend, let's say, per week on your real estate portfolio?
Oh, very little. They run themselves. We are taught how to buy the houses properly. We are taught how to rehab them correctly. And we are taught how to screen our residents the correct way. So I don't spend a lot of time on myself. The most time I've spent lately has been renewing a lease and preparing some of the properties we're going to put some of them on the market. And it doesn't take much time to make a phone call or two to say, hey, this is the plan. This is what we're doing. I don't spend a lot of time.
But you are property managing all of your properties yourself. You're not bringing in a third party.
I'm not bringing a third party. We manage them ourselves. But when you do it correctly and you find the right people, your houses will run themselves.
Ah, there's the secret sauce right there. Because what Kathy just told you is that when you do real estate correctly, you don't spend a lot of time on it. Even when you're going into acquisition and renovation phases, right, you still don't spend massive amounts of time because you built a team, did you not?
We built a team, absolutely.
Well, who's on your team besides John?
And the kids.
And the kids.
We have lenders on our team. We have landscapers. We have contractors. We have contractors who deal with the air conditioning system, the plumbers, electricians. This is all our team, insurance. You build your team members around you to where you're literally, it's a text or a phone call away. If something comes up, you contact, if it's a plumbing issue, you contact the plumber contacts the resident, and you're back out again. Send me the bill when it's taken care of. Let me know. So you're not, it's not a heavy involvement. When you have the correct team around you, it runs even smoother.
Well, I can actually say, Al, right now, as we're on this phone call, we're actually having one of our houses renovated right now because we're putting it on the market, and we're not there. So as we speak and talk to you right now, our team is working on the house for us right now. I don't have to be there. Dad doesn't have to be there.
Yeah, you get to hang out with me doing real estate stuff, having fun,
exactly.
Right? I mean, this is fun. I'm having a blast.
We're on the radio, and we're making money.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, Isn't it crazy? I mean, here's the beauty, John. Welcome to your new life. I know you're going to start a job in a couple weeks. Are you really going to start it, though? Come on, spill the beans. Where's your head at?
I go back and forth because talking to the mentor, and he, you know, he's a very, very nice guy. He says, look, you can go a year without working. You're fine. You'll probably find a deal and go into multifamily. But you know what? Why don't you go ahead and just find something that you want to do and make sure you can tolerate and enjoy it. Make sure it meets all, you know, your criteria. And go ahead and just work a little bit. Just work part-time and just do something while we look for your first deal, first multifamily deal. And I went back and forth, and I said, you know what? Fine. I think I'll go find something. And it just so happened, an old employer, good friend of mine, called me and says, hey, I need you to come work for me. And I said, I don't think I want to do that. And he says, no, I really need you to come back. And I said, yeah, I don't know. I'm enjoying my my fun employment here. And he says, look, I'll pay you very, very well to come back. And I said, let me think about it. And he sent the offer, and Kathy went, yeah, I think you need to take it.
Wow.
Okay. She goes, it's one of those things that I wasn't planning on it. I had thought, well, we'll just do the lead thing here and we'll start this and commit to it. I'll be honest. I think, one, I know the guy. He's a really good guy. Two, I know the work. I've done it before. Three, it's, as they say in The Godfather, he made me an offer I can't refuse. And I told him I'd give him a year. So I'll work for you for about a year, then I'm out. And he says, not a problem. Yeah, it's one of those strange things that it just kind of fell in my lap. I wasn't out looking for it. It just happened. And I think there's a distinct difference with me being desperate and looking for a job and panicking and throwing out resumes to every software shop out there. Whereas just out of the blue, you get a phone call and someone says, hey, man, I'm going to give you your dream job for a year. All right. You know what? I'll take it. That's, I think, the distinct difference. I had the time to sit there and just reassess and not panic. There's no way I could have done this 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Yeah, because you've got that control, man. You don't need the job. You had your wife telling you, you don't need the job. You had your mentor saying, you don't need the job. The boss calls and goes, I'm going to pay you good. Hey, I don't need the job. Uh-oh, I got a counteroffer. That's why you got more money, because you don't need to do that work. It's amazing. We'll be back right after this.
Dell Wamsley's Real Estate Investing Worst Case Scenario.
Let's say the Democrats took away all tax deductions away from real estate like Ronald Reagan did in 1986. And in 1986, we had stock market crash, a real estate value crash. The world came to an end for 3 months. Why? Because he took the value away from owning real estate for people who used it as a tax break. People like myself, who got started at 87, go, you know what, you can really buy this stuff cheap right now. In fact, I can buy it so cheap, I can rent it and make a 20% return. Cap rates were 20%. I buy a building and I made 20% of my money without leverage. If I put leverage on it, I made 30 or 40% return. Ungodly returns. Right now, you can earn less than 1% on a savings account. So do you think I hope that happens again? Yes, I do. In 2008, when the world crashed and cratered, I bought real estate 50 cents on the dollar. I said, well, what happened to the stuff you already owned? I kept it. It stayed full. We rented it. We made money.
Don't let the fear of losing money hold you back from making money. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. Hey, let's get into the personal aspects of their lives, shall we? I know you guys are getting nervous now because you have no idea what I'm going to ask you now, do you?
No, we don't.
Are you nervous yet?
I'll be honest. I'll tell you anything.
Okay, that's fair. All right, Kathy, here's the big bombshell question. Are you a real estate professional?
I am a real estate professional.
How did you go to school to get that, or did you get a degree? How do you become a real estate professional?
It's really hard. No, I did not go to school to do this. I spend 750 hours a year doing real estate minimum. So by managing my properties, that is how I'm able to do that. And now going into the multifamily world, it's going to make it even easier. But yeah, it's that is what I call myself. I'm a homeschooling real estate professional person.
What's the benefit of being a real estate professional? I mean, when you make an offer on a property, you say, "Hi, I'm a real estate professional. You should take my offer." How does this thing work?
It actually works on the end with your taxes. So it does help out. It's like it's a tax benefit on the other side. It doesn't help, you know, with your when you're buying a house, they don't care if you're a real estate professional. It matters in the tax world. And I'm sure, Al, you can explain it probably a little bit better than I can, but you do get it's a benefit for your taxes.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing is what it is. What it does is it prevents you from being limited out on the amount of depreciation and other tax incentives that the government gives you. And it's wonderful because it protects the income that you're making from taxation. It protects a lot of other things for you. And I don't want to pretend like I'm a CPA or a tax advisor. I'm not, but it's a beautiful thing when you're a real estate professional, because now everything that your real estate is doing for you can be taken advantage of. When you're not a real estate professional, I think the limitation's what? $25,000, you get to that amount, and anything above that, you can carry over to the next year, but that doesn't help you in the near term, does it?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It doesn't at all. I mean, so there's a huge benefit for Kathy being the real estate professional. I mean, it's immense. It's a wonderful thing.
Do you think that's one of those things that kicked in to help you be able to step away from that job, that the tax benefits, as they were applied to your income streams, protected that income so you're not paying a bunch in cash and you were able to pull this off, John, this transfer of jobs?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's very hard to put into words what happens when you have these security nets in place, I guess, lack of a better word, but so many good things happen to you. I mean, Kathy and I were kind of going over, just kind of laughing, like, this has just been so easy. And out of the blue, we get a statement from some, I don't know, IRA or something that I had forgotten about. And it had, what, kind of $70,000 in it. And I had forgotten about it. I didn't even know about it. And Kathy's like, "Where did this money come from?" And literally just kind of fell from the sky. And Kathy goes,
"That's like,
well,
what, three more houses sitting there, right?"
Yeah. So she like ripped the Band-Aid off. We'll go ahead and just cash it out. And I had no clue. I had completely forgot about this. So these, you know, things just start to happen. It's really hard to explain. People might call, "Oh, you're just lucky." No, it's not luck. Trust me, you have to. We have worked. Okay, Kathy's worked hard for this. I kind of just said the violence, apparently. Yeah. But you know, but she's not overworked. I mean, like you said, 750 hours a year. I mean, like, why don't you go ahead and pay me? I'll give you 750 hours a year. You know, pay me what you're going to pay. That's great. I'll take that. So, not saying she's not working hard. She's just not working a lot.
I'm working smartly.
Smart, yes. Yes.
Efficiently, effectively, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, because at the end of the day, 750 hours a year really only works out to be, what, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week-ish?
Ish.
Yeah. So, I mean, you get up, you do what you need to do with your real estate, and by 10 o'clock, your time is all yours again, right? I mean, not that you lost any of your time, because you're in complete control of your time.
Correct.
What a beautiful place.
You're not running around putting out fires. It's not like that. You said it. You're in control of my time. It isn't like I'm running around trying to figure out what are we going to do. I don't have to do that. It's different.
And
our mindsets are so different now.
There is no going to the houses and unclogging a toilet or you know, fixing it. None of that. That doesn't happen. When we work on our business, we're looking at spreadsheets. We're trying to determine if we're going to go ahead and sell this property or not. You know, what's our rate of return? If the rate of return is declining, let's go ahead and sell it. Let's move on. So it's office work. You know, people find out you're a landlord and they think that, you know, there I am, you know, wearing overalls, you know, plunging a toilet. No, that's not going to happen. That's not me. That's not Kathy. That's not the way you do things. So there's a distinct difference. So it's easy work for us. Looking at a spreadsheet and determining, is this still a viable house or should we go ahead and sell it? And so, you know, it's not rocket science.
Now, you guys have two children. They're teenagers, correct?
Correct.
Yes. Yeah.
What do they think about all this real estate investing that you guys are doing? Do they think you guys have lost your mind? Do they think you're Donald Trump? What's going on?
Initially, they were really not that interested. This was, you know, 5-ish years ago. They were like, whatever, you just do whatever you want. We don't even want to be involved. Like, don't even ask anything. And we got them involved by doing, hey, what colors would you put? Like, we asked them different colors. They could put towels in the house. We did very minimal things to make the house look more like a home. The kids could pick the colors. They could pick the different soaps I put out, whatever it was, something simple. That's where it started. And then we had a child, when our youngest said, you know what, I want to be more involved. So we pulled her 529 money. We, again, ripped the bandit off, pulled her money. And secretly, we did it to both kids, but the youngest one knew more about what was going on. And we invested into a property. She was 10% in. So guess what? 10% of the cash flow. She has paid it forward every time. So she's getting, you know, 10% of all of the cash flow. So number two wasn't as quick. She eventually said, about a year later, she went, okay, because, you know, every month I'm like, hey, number two, here's your money. Number one's like, okay, hold up. I want to know what that's like. I want to know more. So I had secretly been putting away number one's money, the oldest money. And after the year, she went, I want to be in. I gave her, you know, big wad of money, and they're both in. And they now understand that when we sell a property, you can have a little bit of those proceeds, but we're going to take your 10% and we're going to roll it over. So we will be taking the properties that where they are invested, and they will be joining us in the multifamily. So they are learning. They are 100% part of this. They have their other interests. This will be when they go off and go do whatever they want to go do with their lives. This will be a net, and they will be taught, continue to be taught how to do real estate. And if they don't want to officially do it, at least learn how to be a passive and learn how to read reports, learn how to be educated in how to move forward with this.
Well, Al, we did, on my little one, she's 15, we sat down and worked out the numbers, and she'll be retired at 25. if she just continues on investing in multifamily. And, can you imagine me retired at 25? So many options and opportunities will be available to her because there's no pressure. Life pressure, you got to go out and get a job. You got to go and go to college. She's looking at it like, why? I'm retired. I can do whatever I want. And
pretty
I think
cool.
That's a huge benefit. I'm jealous. I was like, I should have started this a long time ago.
Yeah, I'll tell you, when I was 15, you know, if somebody put me on a track like that and told me that I would never have to work in my life for somebody else, I would have been ecstatic. Now, of course, back in when I was 15, I didn't know that any of this stuff existed, that this was a viable opportunity. But your children know that this is real. They know it's viable. They are experiencing the benefits of the real estate investing. One of them's going to be retired at the age of 25. What about the other one?
I think she's starting a little slower. She actually she wants to go out and work and you know, I guess deal with that type of thing. And so I think she will be, but I think she's more a little gung-ho of she feels connected to society via work. So I think that'll change. I mean, she's only 17, right? So that's changed. And she hasn't had a job yet. So I think once she gets out into the workforce and realizes that, you know what, you're really putting up with a lot of pressure that you may not have to put up with if you just go ahead and play your cards right. and invest wisely. You can be retired. And then at that point, you can go ahead and do whatever you want. You could take a job, but you know what? You could quit that job if it at a moment's notice. And I think that, to me, is financial freedom and personal freedom, where you can just sit there and say, you know what? I'm done with you. I'm going to move on to the next job, or I'm not going to work at all.
Yeah, spot on, John. Hey, I want to thank you guys for being on the show today. I know people learned a lot from you, and more importantly, that a 15-year-old can retire by the age of 25.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.